الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. Indeed, Allah is a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the hellfire. Continuing with our class, our series, Purification of the Souls, we had last left off with the section, Mubtilatul A'mal, or those things that will invalidate your deeds. And I said in our last class that we will continue from that point, al-hijra, or leaving the land of the disbelievers and going to the land of the believers. I said that when we covered residence in the land of kufr is one of the things that would invalidate your deen. I said that we would continue from there and take a few weeks to look at the issue of hijra. So inshallah ta'ala, tonight's class and the next two classes inshallah ta'ala will be based on a small thesis called Al-Hijra, or excuse me, called The Unknown Made Known to Those Who Want to Know, Al-Hijra. And this was a small thesis that I wrote when I was in Medina, and I'm going to base these next weeks inshallah ta'ala on that. Today we're just going to take a look at the meaning of hijra and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His Quran about hijra. Firstly, the meaning of hijra, or the word hijra, has more than one meaning. The word hijra usually has three meanings. The first one is the meaning that we will be dealing with in our classes inshallah, and that is leaving the land of the disbelievers and moving to the land of the believers. The word hijra also means jihad, or killing the disbelievers for the sake of making the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uppermost in the land. And the word al-hijra also means leaving that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made forbidden. So these are the meanings of hijra, and depending upon the context of the ayah or the context of the hadith, we will know the meaning of the word hijra. And it's important for us to know that sometimes in Arabic, as in English, one word could have more than one meaning, and that we have to look at the context of the word or the context in which the word is being used so that we can know the meaning of the word, inshallah ta'ala. We'll start off with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 218, after I said, A'udhu billahi minash shaytan ar-rajim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, those who believe and those who made hijrah and those who fought jihad in the path of Allah, they are those who seek the mercy of Allah, and Allah is غفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this verse, indeed those who believe, those who have believed in Allah and believed in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and made hijrah, who left the land of the kuffar and moved to the land of the Muslims for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who fought or killed the disbelievers in the path of Allah, they are the people who seek the mercy of Allah or the reward or the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those people who have believed and made hijrah and fought in jihad. And Allah is ghafur rahim, and Allah is forgiving and merciful. Here in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just mentioning those people who have made hijrah, and that they are the people who seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ends the verse off by saying He's Ghafur Rahim, or He's the forgiving, the merciful, to show that inshallah He would accept the forgiveness of those people, or He would forgive those people who have believed and made hijrah and made jihad, and He will show His mercy on them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ali Imran, verse number 195, I'm going to read part of the verse that pertains to the issue of hijrah. However, goes back to the Quran, they'll see where I began this verse. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَأُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأُوذُوا فِي سَبِيلِي وَقَاتَلُوا وَقُتِلُوا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ثوابا من عند الله والله عنده حسن الثواب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, and those who have made hijrah, those who were forced out of their home and punished for my sake, referring to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one talking in this verse in the Quran, and those who are punished for my sake, those who fought and were killed, I will forgive them of their bad deeds, and I will enter them into jannat, or gardens underneath which rivers flow, a reward with Allah. And a good reward is with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is also praising those people who have made hijrah, those people who were forced out of their home, those people who left the land of the disbelievers and moved to the land of the believers, so that they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be worshipped, and so that they can die as believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He would remove from them their bad deeds, or overlook and forgive them of their sins, and He will enter them into jannat, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever. This is a reward with Allah, and there is a good reward with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this verse is showing us that among the ways to Jannah is making hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also among the ways to have our sins forgiven is making hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leaving the land of the disbelievers and moving to the land of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, or chapter number 4, verse number 89, says, وَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ كَمَا كَفَرُوا فَتَكُونُوا سَوَاءً فتكونون سواء فلا تتخذوا منهم أولياء حتى يهاجروا في سبيل الله فإن تولوا فخذوهم واقتلوهم حيث وجدتموهم ولا تتخذوا منهم وليا ولا نصيرا. الله سبحانه وتعالى in this verse in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 89, says, and they wish that you would disbelieve as they have disbelieved so that you and them will be equal. So do not take from among them friends or protectors. Do not take them as your friends and your protectors until they make hijrah for the sake of Allah. And if they turn away, then capture them or kill them wherever you find them. And do not take any of them as a friend or as a protector. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to try when I make my first translation of the verse, a general translation, and then the next time to go a little bit into the tafsir or to explain in a little more detail the verses, inshallah. And if someone ever feels as we're going along that something isn't clear, then feel free to stop me as we go along, inshallah, so I can clarify as best I could. And they wish that you would disbelieve. The munafiqun, those people who are outwardly profess Islam, but inwardly disbelieve in Islam, they wish that you would disbelieve as they have disbelieved so that you could be equal. Allah says, do not take from among those munafiqeen, those people who want you to be kuffar, just like they're kuffar, do not take any among them as friends and protectors until they make hijrah for the sake of Allah. And here, the word hijrah has one of two possible meanings, and that is the first one, until they leave the land of the disbelievers and move to the land of the believers, or it may mean until they fight the disbelievers for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is prohibiting us from taking those people, those munafiqeen, as friends and protectors until they make hijrah for the sake of Allah. And if they turn away, and if they turn away from hijrah, then capture them and kill them wherever you find them, and do not take anyone from among them as friends and protectors. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't just mentioning the virtues of hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beginning to show us that this issue of hijrah isn't just an issue of virtue, but it is an issue of obligation on the believer. And that a believer, if he's going to be a believer, he's going to leave the land of the disbelievers and go to the land of the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him. And Allah commands us not to befriend and not to take as protectors or helpers those people who have not made hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, to seize them and to kill them wherever we find them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran is commanding us to do to those people who have not made hijrah. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we're just looking at the ayat, and then next week insha'Allah the ahadith, and then the following week the statements of the ulama and the verdict in relationship to the issue of hijrah. So I'm just saying this so that we're not hasty and asking the question, as sometimes when we're hearing these ayats reveal themselves to us as if there's a particular verdict, but just let's sit back and listen to the ayats of Allah and try to understand and remind ourselves of the ayats of Allah until we eventually get to the actual verdict and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us in relationship to these ayats and these hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the same surah, Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, verses 97 to 100, tells us, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِيمَ كُنْتُمْ قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة فتهاجروا فيها فأولئك مأواهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا فأولئك عسى الله أن يعفو عنهم وكان الله عفوا غفورا ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعة ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله وكان الله غفورا رحيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these verses tells us, indeed those who the angels have taken them while they have wronged themselves, the angels will say to them, who are you with? They will say, we were weak in the earth. It will be said to them, they will say, wasn't Allah's earth spacious enough for you to make hijrah in? Those, their abode is Jahannam, the hellfire, or what an evil abode. Except for the weak among the men and the women and the children who do not know who do not have a plan to make hijrah, and those who don't know the way out of the land of the disbelievers. Those, perhaps Allah would pardon them, and Allah is Afoon Ghafoor, and Allah is the pardoner, the forgiver. And whoever makes hijrah for the sake of Allah would find many paths in Allah's earth and many places of residence in Allah's earth, and he will find Allah's earth spacious. And whoever leaves his house as one who is making hijrah to Allah and his messenger, and then death overtakes him before he actually reaches his destination, then his reward is with Allah, and Allah is Ghafoor Rahim, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is telling us, indeed those who have wronged themselves by not making hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, those people, the angels take their souls, dying in the land of the disbelievers, not having made hijrah to the land of the believers, the angels will say to them, who are you with? Or why did you remain with the disbelievers and not make hijrah to the land of the believers? They will say, we were weak in the land. They will say, we were weak in the land. They will say that the disbelievers had too much power over us and we didn't have the ability to leave. It will be said to them, the angels will say, wasn't Allah's earth spacious enough for you to make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers? Those who did not make the hijrah, their abode is the hellfire, Jahannam, or what an evil abode. Except for those who are weak, who did not really have the ability to make the hijrah from among the men and the women and the children, those who did not have a plan to leave the land of the disbelievers, and those who did not know the way. Those people who did not have the ability to devise how they're going to save their money, or how they're going to, what route they're going to take, and to what country they're going to take to leave the land of the disbelievers and go to the land of the believers. Those perhaps Allah will forgive them. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His Quran says perhaps He will do something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do that thing. Perhaps we may do something, maybe, maybe not. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He says perhaps Allah will do such and such, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do such and such. And that is a general rule when we see in the Quran perhaps Allah or maybe Allah will do such and such, that this perhaps or this maybe or asa in Arabic from Allah means indeed Allah will do such and such. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that him and his mother was among the weak who didn't have the ability to make hijrah. As he was a little boy and his mother was a lady, and you can imagine in those days what it took on getting your cattle together to travel as your food and your horseback and your camel, and then actually knowing the route. I mean, nowadays we have highways, but then, you know, knowing your way through the desert to leave the land of the disbelievers and go to the land of the believers. Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying that him and his mother, they didn't have a plan, meaning they didn't know how to get ready or weren't capable of getting ready, and they didn't know the way to leave the land of the disbelievers and go to the land of the believers. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned, and indeed Allah is afoon ghafoor, or the pardoner, the forgiven. Allah goes on to say, and whoever has made hijrah for the sake of Allah, he will find many places of residence in Allah's earth, and he will find Allah's earth spacious. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that whoever leaves his land, the land of the disbelievers, and goes to the land of the believers, it's not upon him to question, where will I go? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already promised him that he will find many places of residence. Not where could I go and where would I find my place, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said whoever makes hijrah for the sake of Allah, that he will find Allah's earth spacious, and he will find many places for residence in the land of the believers. And whoever leaves his house, as those who are making hijrah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he dies en route to the land of the believers, leaving the land of the disbelievers, then his reward is with Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at times doesn't say that the reward will be the forgiving of your sins, or the reward will be a place in Jannah, but that Allah just leaves it open and his reward will be with Allah, to show us how great that reward is. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you, then, I mean, subhanAllah, if Allah rewards us, what else can we ask for? If our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us with something, then we know there's no reward higher than the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see in the Quran, and the reward is with Allah for whoever does such and such, then Allah is just trying to show us that that person will be rewarded as best as anyone could be rewarded. And Allah is the Ghafoor al-Rahim, or Allah is the forgiving, the merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, or chapter number 8, verses number 72 to 75, tells us, إن الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك بعضهم أولياء بعض والذين آمنوا ولم يهاجروا ما لكم من ولايتهم من شيء حتى يهاجروا وإن استنصروكم في الدين فعليكم النصر إلا على قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق والله بما تعملون بصير والذين كفروا بعضهم أولياء بعض إلا تفعلوه تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله
والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. والذين آمنوا من بعد وهاجروا وجاهدوا معكم فأولئك منكم. وأولو الأرحام بعضهم أولى ببعض في كتاب الله إن الله بكل شيء عليم. الله سبحانه وتعالى in سورة الأنفال chapter number 8 verses number 72 to 75 tells us, those who believe and fought jihad with their wealth and their persons for the sake of Allah, and those who have provided residence for others and they have helped, they are friends of one another. And those who have believed and have not made hijrah, they don't have any friendship or protection from you until they make hijrah. And if they seek your help, then you should help them, or then you must help them, unless there is a covenant or a pact between you and those people that they're help asking you to help them against. And Allah knows what you do, and Allah sees what you do. And those who disbelieve, they are friends and protectors of one another. And if you don't do it, then there will be corruption in the land, and then there will be fitna in the land and widespread corruption. And those who believe and made hijrah and fought jihad for the sake of Allah, and those who provided residence and help, they are the true believers. For them is forgiveness and a generous provision. And those who believed afterwards and made hijrah and fought jihad with you, they are the ones who are with you. Those people who are relatives to you are more closer to you in reference to the Book of Allah, or in reference to Mirath, or in reference to Allah's verdict concerning inheritance. Indeed, Allah is alimun over everything. Indeed, Allah has knowledge over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is telling us, indeed those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and those who have made hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, and have fought jihad to make the deen of Allah uppermost in the land with their wealth and with their persons, and those who have provided residence and those who have helped. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is referring to in specific the Ansar, those who have provided residence for those who have made hijrah to them, and those who have helped those who have made hijrah. They are friends and protectors of one another. And those who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, those who are the Muslims and have not made hijrah, then they aren't your friends, or they don't have friendship from you or protection until they make hijrah. But if they ask you to help them in this deen, then you must help them, except if they are asking you, those people who have not made hijrah, if they are asking you to help them against a people that those who have already made hijrah have a pact with, that they won't have any fighting with, then there's no help for those people who have not made hijrah. Indeed, Allah knows best, or indeed Allah sees all what you do. And those who have disbelieved, they are friends and protectors of one another. And if you don't do it, and here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you don't make hijrah, and if you don't befriend and help those in deen who have made hijrah before you, then there will be fitna in the land and widespread corruption. Here Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the severity of leaving off that hijrah and not obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it's not something simple that, okay, I didn't do it, astaghfirullah. But if you don't do it, that there will be fitna in the land. All types of tests against the believers, weakness in the believers' iman, weakness in their practice of Islam, strength for the kuffar over top of the believers, and humiliation for the believers, and all types of corruption for not making hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah goes on to say, and those who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and have made hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers and have fought jihad by killing the disbelievers to make the deen of Allah uppermost in the land for the sake of Allah, and those who have provided residence and have helped those who have made hijrah, meaning that if the people, the believers, make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, those among the believers who are in the land of the believers, if they provide residence and they help those who are making the hijrah, they are the true believers. They are the true believers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, those people who are the real believers, you have the believers who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you have the true real believers. They are the ones who believe in Allah, make hijrah, fight jihad, provide residence for the others who are making hijrah, and help them. These are the ones who are true believers. They will have forgiveness, and they will have a generous provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the deeds that they have done. And those, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuing to mention those who have made hijrah, as He says, and those who believe afterwards, and those who have made hijrah afterwards, and Imam al-Tabari rahimahullah is explaining after the first hijrah to Habasha or Ethiopia or Abyssinia, as some of the people say, those people who have made hijrah after that hijrah, from Habasha, referring to the hijrah to al-Madinah, or from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers in general, and those who have fought jihad with you, then they are the ones with you. Meaning they are your real friends and protectors. Those people who are your relatives have more relationship to you with inheritance than anyone else. Indeed, Allah is alim over all things. Indeed, Allah knows all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuing to talk about the issue of hijrah in His Quran tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, verses 20 to 22, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ يُبَشِّرُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَرِضْوَانٍ وَجَنَّاتٍ لَّهُمْ فيها نعيم مقيم خالدين فيها أبدا إن الله عنده أجر عظيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان ومن يتولهم منكم فأولئك هم الظالمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, those who have believed in Allah and His Messenger and have made hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers and have fought jihad, killing the disbelievers in order to make the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uppermost in the land for the sake of Allah, fi sabilillah, with their wealth and with their tongues, they are greater or better or higher in degree in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are the successful. They are giving glad tidings from their Lord of mercy from him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from his ridwan, or from the pleasure of Allah for them, and jannat for them, or jannah for them, with an everlasting na'im, or an everlasting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will abide therein forever. Indeed, Allah has a magnificent reward with him. And then I had read, mistakenly adding on verse number 23, and you can read that in the translation of Marcin Khan, the Noble Quran, inshallah ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses are praising those who have made hijrah and showing us that they are higher in degree with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that those are the real ones who are successful in this life and in the life to come, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them glad tidings of mercy from Allah, and the fact that Allah is pleased with them, and that he will reward them with the everlasting reward of Jannah, abiding there forever, and that this is a magnificent reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, or chapter number 16, verses 41 and 42, with this statement, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And those who have made hijrah for the sake of Allah, after they were oppressed, we will provide them with a good residence in this world, and the reward of the hereafter is even greater if they only knew. Those who are patient and those who rely and depend on their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is showing us that those people who were oppressed in the land, and many times we hear ourselves talking about the oppression that we feel in this country as Muslims. Those people who have made hijrah after they were oppressed, Allah says, and we would give them, or we would provide for them, a good place of residence, a residence that they will be pleased with in this world. And then we will reward, and then the reward of the hereafter is even greater. The reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those people who have made hijrah in this world, the reward that Allah has for them in the hereafter is even greater if they only knew. Those who are patient with the difficulties that they may find in this world, and the tests and trials that they may find in this world, those who are patient and those who rely on their Lord and depend on their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, their reward is good residence in this life and a better reward in the hereafter. And this ayah reminds me of that which had begun to the short thesis, the unknown made known to those who want to know, and that was that when we were in Medina on the semester break, a group of brothers from the West, we had got together and we had a blackboard or one of those big pieces of paper, and we were discussing all of the problems that we face in the Western world. Brothers from Australia, brothers from Europe, brothers from America, both Canada and United States, and I'm not even sure if the brother from Mexico was there or not, but brothers from South America, we were all there that day talking about the problems that we find in the Western world. At any rate, we had summed all of those problems up into two main problems: a corrupt society and then lack of money. A corrupt society and then lack of money. At any rate, we went around the room each brother offering his suggestion or his solution to the problem, the two main problems that we find in the West: corruption in the society and then lack of money. When it came to my turn to find a solution for our two main problems, I let the solution be the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the statement of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that we heard in Surah An-Nisa and those verses 97 onward: indeed those who the angels have taken their souls and they have wronged themselves, it will be said to them, who were you with? Or why did you remain in the land of the disbelievers and didn't make land hijrah to the land of the believers? They will say, we were weak, or we didn't have the ability, or that we were oppressed with the corruption of our society, that we loved it over the land of the believers. Those people, it will be said to them, isn't Allah for you to make hijrah in? And this was the point where I was trying to show the brothers that any problem that we're faced with, that Allah has the answer in His book. Maybe we don't know that ayah, or we don't remember that ayah when we're dealing with that problem, but Allah has all of the answers of all of our problems in His book. Maybe we don't want to accept some of them, as we feel that some of them are a hard pill to swallow, but Allah has given us the answer. And this is the answer to the corruption that we find in our communities, is to leave it and to go to the land of the believers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in His Quran, and as Allah shows us the reward of those people who make hijrah in the land, those people who are patient with leaving the land of the disbelievers, those people who depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and rely on Allah because they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for them. Those are the people who will be rewarded in this dunya with a nice place to live, a place, inshallah, free of corruption. And I'm not saying that the land of the believers is free of corruption, but free of corruption and a reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jannah, in the hereafter. So just mentioning this verse and showing that we are oppressed in this land, and how that we were in that room in the University of Medina on campus discussing the problems we face in the West and what were the solutions we offer. And this should be for us in general, that whenever we find problems in our lives, then we should take it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to look for solutions, and not to be quick to running to our own opinion or to the opinion of he or she or whoever, but taking it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah to help us to deal with our problems, to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the solution of our problem, going back to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find that solution, going back to the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to find the solution to our problems when we are oppressed. Among the solutions to the problems that we find here in America as Muslims is leaving America, making hijrah from the land of this, from this land or the land of the kuffar to the land of the believers. This is a solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in His book. Whether it's a hard pill for us to swallow, whether we like it or we dislike it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth, and there is no one more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in the same surah or the same chapter, Surah An-Nahl, chapter number 16, verse number 110, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, ثم إن ربك للذين هاجروا من بعد ما فتنوا ثم جاهدوا وصبروا إن ربك من بعدها لغفور رحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, in this verse, Surah Surah 110 in Surah An-Nahl, then indeed your Lord, O Muhammad, and to the Ummah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, indeed your Lord has for those who have made hijrah after they were tested by the mushrikeen, after they had that fitna from the disbelievers, then they fought jihad, then they were patient. There is mercy from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for those people who have made hijrah after they were tested by the disbelievers, after they found themselves in the fitna. They made hijrah after that and fought jihad and were patient, that they will find forgiveness and mercy from their Lord, who is Ghafoor Rahim. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the same thing that was said in the previous verses, and that is that among the solutions to this fitna that we find ourselves in is making hijrah to the land of the believers. This making hijrah to the land of the believers, running away from the fitna, isn't cowardly. And no one should look at the solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out in his book as a coward or a cop-out solution to our problems here. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the solution for his messenger salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, who was tested with fitna and oppressed in Mecca. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him as a solution to that hijrah, by leaving Mecca and going to Medina. By leaving Mecca and going to the land of the believers. And no one would call the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions cowards for obeying the commandment of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by leaving the disbelievers and going to the land of the believers. However, we shouldn't confuse the solution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, leaving the land of the disbelievers and going to the land of the believers, running away from that fitna by going to a place where we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he ought to be worshipped and fear him as he ought to be feared and die as Muslims. We shouldn't compare that with the cop-out attitude that we have when we're among the Muslims. When we're among the Muslims and we're tested with fitna and trials and oppressions and things that we don't like, running away from the Muslims is a kata. And you find that the Muslims nowadays, because of our lack of patience, when we're with the believers, if things don't go our way, we try to run someplace else. Start our own thing. Do our own thing. And then when that doesn't work out and we disagree, then we run to some other one. And then we run, and then we run. This is a cop-out. And this is the way of the cowards. But running from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. As far as being with the believers and finding oppression and finding the test that we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to be patient. To be patient with one another. To be patient with the believers until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a way for us. So let's not compare the two. The cop-out of being with the believers, when things don't go your way, you just drop out, you don't want to help anymore. You don't want to be down with the believers because you have a difference of opinion, or because you don't see it that way, or because it's a little rough. That's the cop-out. But when we leave the land of corruption and go to the land of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. And this isn't a cop-out, but this is saving our deen so that we can die as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us in these verses in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Al-Hajj, or chapter number 22, verses 58 and 59, he tells us subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ قُتِلُوا أَوْ مَاتُوا لَيَرْزُقَنَّهُمُ اللَّهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وإن الله لهو خير الرازقين له وإن الله لهو خير الرازقين ليدخلنهم مدخلا يرضونه وإن الله لعليم حليم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, and those who have made hijrah for the sake of Allah, then they are killed or they die. Indeed, Allah will provide for them a good provision, and indeed Allah is khayrul raziqeen, or the best of the providers. He will enter them with a good entering, one which they are pleased with, and indeed Allah is alimun haleem, or the all-knower, the compassionate, or the gentle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses is telling us that those who have made hijrah, those who have left the land of the disbelievers and moved to the land of the believers, or in this ayah the word hijrah could possibly have the meaning of those people who have fought jihad for the sake of Allah, they are killed or they die, then Allah will provide for them a nice provision, and Allah is the best of the providers. And we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in this verse alone, but in the other verse in Surah An-Nisa, He shows us that Allah would provide for us if we made hijrah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to take the fear out of our hearts from leaving our homeland, the lands of the disbelievers, and moving to the land of the believers, for fear that we won't be able to earn a living, or that we won't be able to provide for our families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to remove that fear from our hearts by telling us that He will provide with us a good provision, and that Allah would provide us with many places of residence, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made His earth spacious, and that Allah is the best of the providers. All of these words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to comfort us and trying to make it easy on us to obey the commandment of leaving the land of the disbeliever and moving to the land of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ankabut, or chapter number 29, verse number 56, tells us,
يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ أَرْضِي وَاسِعَةٌ فَإِيَّايَ فَعْبُدُونَ.
O my servants who have believed, indeed my earth is spacious, so worship me alone. O my servants who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed my earth is spacious, so worship me alone. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, as all of the people of tafsir explain to us in their books of tafsir, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed my earth is spacious, so I command you to make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. From the land where people don't worship Allah to the land where people worship Allah. From the land of sin to the land of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, my earth is spacious. In parentheses, so make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the believers and worship me alone. Be sincere and obedient to me, and this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking, and be sincere and obedient to me in your worship. Obey me and don't disobey me by following anyone in disobedience to me. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us in this verse, and maybe it's not openly or apparently clear to us if we read in some of the translations, indeed my earth is spacious. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us His earth is spacious, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala isn't talking in His Quran in vain. But that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that His earth is spacious to show us that we need to leave the land of the disbelievers and to move to the land of the believers. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Az-Zumar, chapter number 29, verse number 10, as Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً إنما يوفى الصابرون أجرهم بغير حساب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse, say, O my servants who have believed, I command you to fear your Lord. Indeed, for those who have done good in this world is good for them. It's hasana, or it's jannah in the hereafter. And Allah's earth is spacious. Allah will reward those who are patient with a reward without any account. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us what He told us in the previous verse, that Allah's earth is spacious. Allah's earth is spacious, so I command you to make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in His Quran, Allah's earth is spacious, He is at the same time subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding us to make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. So these are the verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken to us about the issue of hijrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses that we heard, He shows us that He will reward us for making hijrah in His earth, or leaving the land of the disbelievers and moving to the land of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in these verses that He will forgive us of our sins, that He will enter us into Jannah, that He will provide for us, that He will give us many places of residence if we make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He shows us that the real, true believers are those who make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in these verses that if we don't make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, then there will be much fitna in the land and widespread corruption. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shows us in these verses that if we don't make hijrah from the land of the disbelievers to the land of the believers, that there won't be any excuse for us, but that our abode will be the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that His earth is spacious enough for us to find a place to live in the land of the believers, so that we don't have to live in the land of the disbelievers. These are the verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in relationship to the issue of hijrah. This is how I wanted to start the next few weeks on our talk in hijrah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who understand that which is being said and to practice that which we know. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any questions in relationship to these ayahs, then inshallah we can handle them now. Yes. Okay, the brother is referring back to the verse number 97, I think it is, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter number 4, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is telling us that the abode of those people who have the ability to leave the land of the disbelievers and move to the land of the believers and don't do so, then their abode is the hellfire. What about those people who left the land of the believers and went to the land of the disbelievers? If this is the case for the people who didn't leave the land of the disbelievers and go to the land of the believers, how much more so is it on those people who have left the land of the believers and went to the land of the disbelievers? And many of the ulama, alhamdulillah, nowadays, and their talks, their khutbahs, and their lectures, and their lessons, and their book, they are discouraging the believers who are in the land of the believers in the strongest possible language not to leave the land of the believers and go to the land of the disbelievers under any circumstances. Not for a vacation, not to study, and definitely not to live. And the only ones that the ulama permit from the believers who live in the land of the believers to visit the land of the disbelievers are those who are well grounded in their deen of Islam, and that they are going to the land of the disbelievers to teach the deen of Islam, to spread the religion of Islam, to show the Muslims how to practice Islam, and to call the people back to the lands of Islam, to the lands of the believers. These people, it is permissible for them to leave the land of the believers and to go to the land of the disbelievers. And some of the ulama, they say, if in the land of the disbelievers there is some knowledge that will benefit the believers that is not in the land of the believers, then it is permissible for those who are well grounded in their deen to go to the land of the disbelievers and to learn that knowledge for the sake of bringing it back to the land of the believers to benefit the believers. So this is what the ulama say about the believers going to the land of the disbelievers. Unfortunately, we hear some of the people who have left the land of the Muslims saying, I made hijrah from Saudi Arabia to the United States. This isn't hijrah, and it's improper for them to use the word hijrah. Rather, they have traveled in disobedience to their Lord from Saudi Arabia to the United States of America. And it's proper for them and for anyone who hears them to tell them that you have made a sinful, disobedient move from the land of the believers to the land of the disbelievers. Those people who are exempt from making hijrah are the people that we mentioned earlier in Surah An-Nisa, on the series of verses starting with verse number 97 or 96. Allah makes it clear, those who are weak from among the men and the women and the children who do not have the means nor a way to get out of the land of the disbelievers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive them. So maybe it's more proper for us not to say those who are exempt, but those who would be forgiven though they didn't make the hijrah. Those who would be forgiven though they didn't make the hijrah. It's like saying, who is exempt from making hajj? Someone's exempt from making hajj, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't burden a soul except that they have the ability to bear. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, when they mention the issue of making hajj, they always mention for those who have the ability to do so. So whoever has the ability to make the hajj, then it's compulsory upon him, just like those who have the ability to make the hijrah is compulsory on them. But those who do not have the ability to make the hajj, or those who do not have the ability to make the hijrah, then those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not burdened a soul except if they have the ability to bear that burden. if there's no more questions, I didn't want to mix. Yeah, I'm glad that the brother mentioned this, because this was going to actually come up when we come to this section of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we get to that hadith, I would put emphasis on that. we're speaking of the land of the disbelievers and the land of the believers. The brother was asking, how do we identify the land of the believers? The ulama have given different meanings to what is the land of the believers. And that which seems to be most correct, and that which seems to be in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the opinion of those who say that the land of the believers is the land where the Muslims are in majority, the land where the Muslims are in majority in numbers, or the land where the Muslims are in charge or are ruling, even if they don't have the numbers. So they say that the land of the believers is one of two lands. The land where the believers are in the majority, whether they're ruling or not ruling, but they're in the majority. This is the land of the believers. Or the land where the Muslims are ruling, even if they are in the minority, but they are ruling that particular land, then that land would be the land of the believers. So these, inshallah ta'ala, are the lands of the believers. The first, the second one, a land where the Muslims are in control, where the Muslims are ruling that land by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From my knowledge, there aren't any Muslim scholars who differ that this is the land of the believers. And during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam, when they had conquered Mecca, or when Islam began to spread to the land that Islam spread, when they conquered the land, at the time of conquering any particular land, the Muslims were in the minority, though they were in control of the land. They were in the minority, but that it was still considered the land of the Muslims because the Muslims had conquered that land, and the land was run by the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the example of Yemen, and after, during the time of the companions of the Messenger of Allah radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And the ulama today still are saying that if the land is governed by the Quran and the Sunnah, or the land is governed by Islam, the Muslims are ruling that land, and that is considered the land of the Muslims, or the land of the believers. The other land of the believers that I mentioned, and that is the land where the Muslims are the majority in numbers, this is the statement of some of the ulama, and they are basing it on the hadith that we're going to mention inshallah ta'ala, and the last part of it where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he was questioned, لِمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ he said, لَا تَتَرَاءَنَا رَاهُمَا. Oh, let me mention the beginning of the hadith, and then we'll see the statement at the end. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِّن كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ يُقِيمُ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. قالوا لما يا رسول الله قال لا تتراءى ناراهما. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this authentic hadith, and when we get to the sections of hadith next week inshallah, we'll tell them which book of hadith that these hadith are collected from. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am free from every Muslim that resides amidst the mushrikeen. I am free from every Muslim that resides among the mushrikeen. The companions questioned, why, O Messenger of Allah? He said, they shouldn't see, and this is the literal meaning, they shouldn't see one another's fires. And the ulama explained that this is a kinaya, or this is a phrase that really means we shouldn't see, they shouldn't see one another's lifestyle, meaning the disbeliever and the believer should be living apart so much so that they don't interact so as to see one another's lifestyle. And from this, the ulama have taken that if the Muslims are in the majority in any particular place, that it would be the land of the Muslims, because they wouldn't be residing amongst the mushrikeen so as to see one another's lifestyle. For example, in Nigeria, unfortunately, the disbelievers have taken over Nigeria. But in the northern part, the Muslims have a lot of that land. And also, as another example, in Thailand, the Muslims, the Kufar, are in control of Thailand. But that section at the bottom closest to Malaysia, just like this section in Nigeria, all of the towns, you know where the Muslims live, are all Muslims. So you just have a whole area from the end of Thailand all the way to the end of the country, nothing but Muslims. Every city, every hospital, every school, everything is Muslim. And the same thing in Nigeria. When you go to the land in Nigeria where the Muslims are, all Muslim, no kuffar. Even though they're in the country where the kuffar are running that country. These people are fulfilling the obligation of the Messenger of Allah, do not see one another's lifestyle. That they are separated such that they don't have the interaction with the disbeliever to see how they live or to be affected by their kufr and their corruption. Alhamdulillah, I had the chance to meet people who are from Thailand. Never saw mushrikeen. They live, they learn Arabic, they learn Quran, they learn everything. They said the whole city is Muslim, the city next to them is all Muslim, the city that way is all Muslim. All they know is all Muslim. But what we know of Thailand is that it's a Catholic country. The Buddhists are running it. So this, inshallah ta'ala, these are the two meanings of the land of the believers. The land where the Muslims are in the majority, where they're controlling the practices that go on in that environment. Inshallah, this is the land of the believers. And then the land where the Muslims are in control of the government, or where the Muslims are ruling. Both of these places, inshallah ta'ala, they are the land of the believers, and they are both based on texts from the Quran and the Sunnah. Alhamdulillah. As there's no more questions on the verses of Hijra that we covered today, I didn't want to mix the hadith in with these ayat, but I just wanted to separate the ayat of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the issues on Hijra and their statements on Hijra. And then next week, inshallah, we'll begin to look at the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Hijra. And we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, as we have mentioned many times, was entrusted with explaining the Quran. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned the issue of Hijra in general terms. And next week, inshallah, when we mention the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in relationship to the issue of Hijra, we will see the issue becoming more and more clearer, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, among his duties, was to explain to humanity what was revealed to them from revelation of the Quran. So next week, inshallah ta'ala, we'll take a look at the authentic hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the relationship of Hijra, and then inshallah maybe we'll handle a few of the questions in relationship to those ayat. And then in the following week after that, we want to take a look at the statements of the ulama, past and present, in relationship to this issue of Hijra. And then maybe in the fourth week, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to live through all of these weeks, maybe we'll take a look at maybe some of the lives of some of the brothers who have already preceded us in Hijra, and maybe we'll take a look at how practical it is, for lack of better words, of making Hijra, and where and how to make the Hijra, inshallah ta'ala. But if we don't get to that section, and personally I didn't want to get to that section, and maybe someone else could offer it, but that, and I'm taking this from one of my shuyukh, that it's only on the teacher to explain that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the Sunnah, and that which the ulama have explained of those ayat from the Quran and those hadith from the Sunnah, and it's not on anyone to teach anyone or to show anyone or to make anyone practice Islam. Let me just try to clear that. If we show someone how to make the salat, and we teach him the times of the salat, and we call him to make the salat at the times of the salat, it's not upon us to show him how he's going to get off of work, and how he's going to get to the masjid, and how he's going to do whatever it takes to do to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's just on us to teach the people how to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and then it's on the individual. Just, and I'll give an example, you know, to show really why I didn't want it to go to that week, as we have a few minutes left. We remember from years back in Philadelphia, where they dropped a bomb on the move, and they destroyed all of those houses. Remember when they told the people to vacate the premises, we're about to take care of business. You can imagine someone saying, wait a minute, give me a couple of years to get my act together before I leave. Let me go find a place that I like to live in before I make this move. Let me see how much money I got. You know, is it feasible for me to move right now or not to move or what have you? When they said, we're going to drop that bomb, you know, the people knew what was going to happen. They just left. And if someone today said that they were going to drop a bomb on our houses, no one would have to be encouraged to leave. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to obey him, no one should have to be convinced or to be shown detail by detail, you know, to convince him how he's going to obey his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's really sufficient for us to just show how we're to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then it's on the individual to worship his Lord. And no one's going to be held accountable because they didn't tell a person how much the plane ticket was or all of this. It's on the individual to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, in the coming weeks, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life and the knowledge and understanding to deal with the unknown made known to those who want to know. The hijra. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.